Let me pick this up and bring that up and say, hi, you're on KNYOLP in Fort Bragg. How can I help you?
Hi, Marco.
Hi, it's Ezekiel J. Kralin.
Yeah, that's me.
Now might be a good time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I couldn't listen to the show because the Wi-Fi reception is lousy right now. So I was watching a movie out of South Korea called OKJA, and it's pretty good. Got English subtitles, and it's about a biotech company called Mirando Corporation that is engineering these super pigs, you know, to make lots more cheap meat, you know, and they created these super piglets, 26 of them, and they gave them to 26 farmers from 26 different countries, and they all have a contest to see who comes up with the best, most successful super pig. And then the show goes over, the movie goes over to this little young Korean woman and her grandfather living out in some wilderness in South Korea, beautiful forested place. She's one of the farmers who is raising the super pig. And so the pig comes out of the brush, it's as big as a rhinoceros. And it doesn't have a pig face. It's more like the face of that dragon in The Neverending Dream.
Oh, Neverending Story.
Fatter.
Yeah. So it's like a Chinese dragon with a big dog face, like a schnauzer.
Yeah, I think it looks like a giant fat rabbit's face without hair. So it doesn't look fully like a pig, but he's friends with it, right?
Okay.
And he saves her life, and you see how. And then some guy who is the host of one of those wildlife adventure films, he shows up at the hiking inn with his crew of camera people, right? And he's a real asshole, a real jerk, full of himself. It's all about him. So that's a funny touch. But then, you know, the pig is now mature, and so they take it away because they're going to use it to breed. And they won the big prize. So there's the winner of the super pig competition.
Can it talk?
But the girl misses her friends. So,
can the pig talk?
Huh?
Can the pig talk? Is it like...
No.
Oh, okay. It's just a regular pig. It's just large.
Well, it's actually a different type of species they created, according to the film. It doesn't look that much like a pig. You can see it where it's really different.
I could see that they could probably, if they don't want to miss a trick, they could also engineer an extra couple of stomachs so that make it a ruminant, so it could be declared kosher, and then you know so many more millions of people could eat it.
That's complicated. So she flees. Well, before she goes, her grandfather even knew. He gave her a gift of a pig made of gold. You know, a pig mold made of gold. And he said, in the old times, the farmer would give it to a daughter when she'd get married. But you know, now your pig's taken away from you, so I thought you would like to have this. Well, she runs away with that because she's going to sell it. She can go to the laboratory and try to rescue the pig. And meanwhile, some animal activists get involved.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I got to say KNYOLP Fort Bragg, KMECLP Ukiah. So you've been watching this movie for like an hour and all those things have already happened?
Yeah. And then it got close to one.
Do you want to go back to it and see what turns out and then call me later? Or is it okay to do this now? Okay, because you know, some people like get involved in a story, and they want to find out what happens next.
Well, it's an absurd film. Lots of fun to watch when you're in a silly mood.
There's a movie that I haven't seen yet. I got it to watch, but I haven't even opened it up to look at yet. That came really highly recommended that you reminded me of by talking about the genetic engineering and so on. It's called Upstream Color. It's a creepy, I understand it's a creepy sort of science fiction-y telepathy, sort of psychic rubber band between people film about something that happened that was released into the river and affects the people downstream.
Yes, it's quite good. I saw it.
Okay, well, I'm going to look forward to seeing that. But this isn't that. This is about pigs.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of anime? Do you like the Hayao Miyazaki films, the Studio Ghibli films?
I like the Ghibli films, but to me they're not typical anime. They're just animated.
Yeah.
Yes, I like those films.
You like, well, I like anime. I like what you're thinking of or what you're describing as anime too. But the Studio Ghibli films just knock my socks off, and I of course have seen them all. I'm thinking of the giant boars in the woods in Princess Mononoke. Was it something like that?
Yes, I can't remember the titles either. But yes, I think I saw four of those Studio Ghibli films.
Well, they're all good except for my neighbor's the Yamadas. That one is it's weak and thin and not the regular style. It's more stylized and kind of like a 1950s cartoon that was off the side of what the company was meant to do.
Maybe they were influenced too much by Disney.
Possibly. Well, they called Miyazaki the Japanese Walt Disney, but I think it's the other way around. I think Walt Disney is like the American Miyazaki. His films are
Disney did work in collaboration with that
company. So rich. Well, Disney bought all those films to distribute in America.
And they use
Hollywood actors and actresses to dub in the English voices if you get the English dubbed version and not the proper one that has the subtitles. I love watching movies with subtitles. Even if they're speaking in English, I love the subtitles because they sometimes wander off from what's going on the screen. And it's nice to kind of compare them. You get a little cognitive dissonance involved in the enjoyment of the flick. Did you have a story to read tonight?
Oh, yes, I do.
Do you mind doing it?
I would love to.
Okay, well, let's do that now then.
All right. It's called Birthday Magic, a true tale from the Castro. Eat your heart out, Armistead. Erudite reader, many other great incidents have occurred to me during my birthday month, such as described in my recent piece called Booty. It is now only the 18th, so stay tuned for further revelations in articles upcoming, for the Great Spirit celebrates my birth all month long. It was the last week of June, my birthday, July 1, was coming up, and I had the perfect bone mote to fling at Larkin. So of course I hoped he'd provide me with just that opportunity on my special day. For he has done this so many times before, whenever I had a rockin' line to deliver. Being highly telepathic, he knows exactly when to appear before me while acting like it's just coincidence. Yet by the same token, he sets me up to believe it's not gonna happen each and every time. So on the morning of July 1st, I went for my usual breakfast at the Posh Bagel, located in the Embarcadero, my habit for the past 3 months. They charge a dollar less for an everything whole wheat bagel with double avocado and a small coffee than the other two Posh Bagels in San Francisco. Plus, they provide excellent Wi-Fi. Normally, I spend an additional 1 or 2 hours strolling the waterfront before proceeding to Martha and Brothers Coffee House, located at Irving and Fifth Avenue. I take the N Judah Underground to get there. But as I departed from the bagel shop, a little birdie told me, "Go back to the Castro, even though it's out of your way. Larkin will be there so you can deliver your latest repartee." I figured at first that this is no more than wishful thinking, so I embarked upon the N Judah without further ado. So by the time the light rail reached Van Ness Station, I felt suddenly compelled to step out and catch the next train to the Castro and exit it at Church Street, seeing as the walk would do me good. When I finally crossed Noe Street, Larkin came up from behind and rapidly hoofed 20 feet ahead before slowing down his pace. Realizing my opportunity had indeed arrived, I hollered, "Now there's someone who isn't going to wish me a happy birthday. Then I pause before adding, he who loves me more than anyone else. As we both marched forward, my scandalous salamander looked back twice, with neither a frown nor a smile. I likewise, looking at him through dark dollar store shades. I followed him another half block before he turned down Castor Street, and I departed underground at the Castor Station, where I rode the rails back to Van Ness and hopped on the Enjuter in the other direction. Next day, I was quite bummed out for several hours due to my new status with Medi-Cal, which so deemed that my monthly share of cost will jump from $0 to $518, starting on my birthday, ironically enough, when I turned 65. Plus, that morning, I realized another $22 would be deducted from my monthly stipend of $1,243 to pay for Medicare Part D, thanks to Medi-Cal bumping up my status, thus no longer covering that fee. How am I going to survive, I worried as I puffed on a Fortuna Red 100 on my walk towards the coffee house 2 blocks away. I will probably go blind and homeless if I don't take my life first. I shuddered in the chill fog and did my best to keep from breaking down in panic as I entered Martha and Brothers, pretending to the baristas who asked how my day's going by telling them, oh, just great, before I settled down at a table and booted up my HP EliteBook 2530P. I did my best to behave like nothing's out of the ordinary and participated in my usual online activism with Twitter, Facebook, and Gmail commanding the major part of my internet follies. I was proud of myself for posting humorous tweets and vital gay news articles to Facebook and my e-friends, in spite of my crisis, before departing 2 hours later to return Hovel. While I awaited the Enjuta going east, I thought of Larkin when these words popped into my mind. The secret society that you believe exists, that you don't yet know what they call themselves, is actually an organization you proposed back in 1997 and named the Blue Rose Militia, the world's first and still only gay militia. With that realization, my heart grew light, and I further understood that Larkin showing up on my birthday so I can deliver my funny repartee was his way of letting me know he's got my back, and that I really shouldn't worry about Medi-Cal or going blind or homeless. Usually when he appears to receive my fresh-off-the-presses wisecrack, I see him ahead of me, either across the street or further up the sidewalk. But this time around, he sneaked up from behind, as if to affirm that this is not my imagination, but genuine telepathy. I should note here, granular reader, that my declaration of this militia arose directly from President Bill Clinton's passage of Defense of Marriage Act and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Apparently, a segment of San Francisco's LGBT community took my words to heart and set up this army to perform various functions, including the accumulation of my writings, which shall be published in a near future time, that gay equality may be greatly empowered, and I receive a hefty amount of the profits garnered by said publication, as well as secession of Northern California to form the world's first sexual minority nation. By the time I arrived home, I was floating on a cloud, for via his appearance upon my birthday in such a remarkable manner, he told me, through action instead of words, that he, who refused to wish me a happy birthday, nonetheless gave me the greatest gift of all. For Larkin shall provide me with protection, including a decent place to live, finally, bodyguards and an underground existence, once the feces hits the ventilator. Which existence will be anything but dull and sterile. Instead, I will be surrounded with the finest company, gorgeous dudes, and imminent respect by various and dedicated followers of my astounding queer ideology. Once arriving back in the Castro, I ran up to Jane Warner Plaza to share my latest revelation to Hollywood, a straight friend, though nonetheless quite compassionate. He then declared, I just saw Larkin here a moment ago in Twin Peaks Tavern. So I explained to him that, yes, he's still there. They'll move to the back to avoid my spotting him in such a direct manner. He then added, I saw him walk off with Cameron yesterday. Well, that's funny, I replied. Cameron always gave me the impression he despises Larkin. So I thought for some time he's one of Larkin's scouts. So now let me tell you about Cameron, oh salacious reader. He is now 24 years old, though I've known him for almost 6 years. His is a story of heroic conquest of AIDS, till now his viral load is zero. Presently homeless once more, he did reside in an SRO for some time, until California eliminated homeless and other services for his kind. Yet he somehow manages to keep himself clean-looking and a respectable citizen of San Francisco. Cameron maintains a very kind nature with both myself and Larkin. A good thing, since he provides a bridge of camaraderie between us two, should the time arrive when Larkin drops his animosity towards yours truly, which I'm sure he will and soon, for it's only a game, a wonderful game. Cameron is the same height as Larkin, 6'4", with the most trim and gorgeous stature, including a bodacious and ridiculously ample wanger, so ready to provide me with oral gratification. He is a wonderful lover who does not let life's adversity discourage him from reaching out in kindness towards other men in need of affection. One night he boinked me up the ass so sweetly while jacking me off, I often daydream about that seraphic interlude. Hazel eyes, dark shiny brown hair, and a rockin' butt even the angels would envy complete his picture. He is also the cousin of Zach, a Hurricane Katrina refugee who's found a home in San Francisco's not-so-mean streets, as well as kind friendship with this vagabond queer soul. He is great company, and sometimes we sleep beside each other with our clothes on, shooting the bull about this and that, and laughing over our misadventures before drifting into slumber. The following two postcards were sent out to Larkin on July 7th. Now, it's just a tourist postcard I use of San Francisco, and on the front, I printed out something, a piece of paper, cut it out, and taped it. And there's also a little couple of Scooby-Doo images. Larkin is nuts about Scooby-Doo, right? And it says, please tell Cameron that I can no longer have anyone visit me due to problems in my building that threaten my eviction. You'll probably see him next before I do. Thank you. He's a good man, and I know he's one of your scouts, as is his cousin Zach, who is really good-looking and incredibly kind to me. He's a Hurricane Katrina refugee, by the way, and I am so proud he's risen above many painful obstacles. Now, on the address side, there's just another sticker of Scooby-Doo, the bus. Second postcard says on the front, that cop you ranted to like a Fruit Loop on July 3rd already thought you were nuts before I even showed him my police report on you. Meth psychosis is a terrible condition. Please get some help. A couple of Scooby-Doo stickers on there, and on the reverse side, there's a sticker of the Tasmanian Devil. And this card I mailed to him the next day, July 8th. This is a postcard of Alcatraz postcard. It has a couple of Scooby-Doo stickers I put on it, and then the printout that I taped to it says, I have several black male boyfriends, all of whom are strapping tough dudes, not to mention bodaciously handsome. They are eager to thank you in person for being such a good friend to me over so many years. Sometimes I think a black male makes the best lover of all. You will have the honor of meeting them soon, though they do wonder why you don't invite me into the bars you frequent and buy me a couple of drinks now and then. I love my black male buddies. Now on the other side, I have a little sticker of Tweety Bird, and then I've been in handwriting, you're so fucking cute, Larkin, and so much fun. Dromedary reader, this black male pun arose from a vision that Larkin sent me over the telepathic airwaves. He wants to role-play my blackmailing him into being my lover, so now I play back. 10 July 2015. We got to wait till this horrible noise goes by.
What is that? Is that a police car or a fire truck?
I don't know. It's going away. Whatever it was. All right. Now to the letter. 10 July 2015. My beloved Larkin, tomorrow I will send the following letter of outrage to various alternative media, such as Mother Jones, Democracy Now!, etc. Time is of the essence, since I may be arrested or disappeared soon for my brazen whistleblowing. Unless some good folks will provide me with places to hide. Personally, at this point, I have nothing to lose, as my own life is on the line thanks to Medi-Cal's criminal abuse of low-income folks like myself. And you, I guess. Affordable care for the poor, my ass. It is the poor who are being shafted due to Medicaid charging outrageously high fees as share of cost. From shareofcost.com, discussing my state's version of Medicaid called Medi-Cal. Quote, the MNL, maintenance need level, has not changed since 1989 and is $600 for an individual. Thus, anything an individual earns over $600 a month becomes that individual's share of cost. For example, if an individual earns $1,100 a month, that person must incur $500 in medical costs each month before receiving any coverage from the Medi-Cal program. For consumers with a high share of costs, Medi-Cal provides little more than catastrophic coverage and does not enable them to access health care services, unquote. Millions shall soon perish, including myself, thousands already have, because of this, while the government and media have hoodwinked citizens to believe the poor are now receiving decent health care. And I guess so has the alternative media, as they also remain silent in this matter. The onus lies solely at the feet of President Obama since he left Medicaid up to each state instead of mandating a basic guideline of affordability and compassion. Read my own story as one such unlucky disabled recipient. It's my letter of outrage to Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi called Obamacare Defecates on the Poor. Most sincerely and with great anger, Ezekiel J. Kralin. Valorous reader, here's a list of the 21 major alternative media to which I emailed the above declaration. I also posted it to the Facebook pages of President Obama, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Nancy Pelosi, and even Ralph Nader. I sincerely hope this triggers a powerful grassroots movement. So far, Daily Coast has been the only site where I've garnered some concern. And others in the same boat have expressed their outrage in the comments section. That's a good sign. Click here to view the article and user remarks that follow. Search for Kralin to get right to my posts and those of other outrage victims. Now here's the list of alternative press, the most, the ones with the highest circulation. Activist Post, Christian Science Monitor, Common Dreams, Counterpunch, Countercurrents, Daily Coast, Democracy Now!, Disinfo, End the Lie, International Human Press, Jeff Rentz, Mother Jones, Raw Story, Russia Today, Sleuth Journal, The Awake Zone, The Huffington Post, The Nation, The Progressive, Today's Alternative News, and Tooth Out. End of my tale.
Okay, that was that was rather condensed compared to the last piece that you did. So
well, yeah,
was,
I don't know, you know, how my stories are going to come out.
Rut-row. I was thinking about that. Something about, I said rut-row a couple of times, and Juanita thought it was funny the first couple of times, but then after that she said, don't say that anymore. So I haven't.
How I learned that Larkin loves Scooby-Doo was in the first year of our friendship. We were sitting down at the old hole-in-the-wall saloon. They have since moved up the street. He was sitting next to me, and he offered to buy me a drink. He did, and sat there, and he mentioned how he used to have this wonderful, wonderful dog that he misses. You know, he had to give away because, you know, he just lived in a room. I said, don't tell me another one of those people who gets this pit bull dog that scared everybody. He says, no, Zeke, he was a pit bull, but he was more like a Scooby-Doo kind of dog. And I started laughing. He said, "What's so funny?" And I said, "You're a Scooby-Doo kind of guy." And it took off from there.
You mean like the guy with the weird little pubic beard?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, no, he's a very funny, humorous man. He's quite a trickster, and a lot of people don't get him.
You said something that stuck in my mind. I'm curious. When you say SRO, you mean a kind of apartment? Does that mean single room occupancy?
Right.
Ah. Okay.
It's not an apartment. It's just a room.
Is that the kind of place that you live in?
Yeah.
I don't know why if unless something is wrong with the router that they've got in the coffee shop downstairs and across the street from where you live, why the internet service would fade in and out, unless they're deliberately turning it down or turning it off when they go home.
I don't know. That's
night.
Just the way. It's not even one bar right now. It's nothing.
Uh huh.
Maybe it was only on two bars for most of the night. I managed to get you in for like a minute here, a minute there.
Oh.
You know, I heard that guy who was doing the Bitcoin app was on.
Oh, you like him? Yeah, you wrote that you like him.
Yeah, very enthusiastic voice. But I only heard him for like 30 seconds. I just gave up.
All right, listen to the recording. Wait till tomorrow night. Download the recording and listen to whatever you want to listen. Skip past the parts that bore or disturb you.
Oh, sure, that's fine. But I usually listen. I manage to listen to at least 4 hours. Sometimes I skip the first hour.
Okay.
That's all local stuff, but it's still very interesting.
Okay.
It's a whole 6 hours, you know. I break it up. Sometimes
it's more than that. Sometimes it's considerably more than that. Thank you for calling. Thank you for reading your story. It's been a
real pleasure, as usual.
Pretty sure I'll be in Fort Bragg in a couple of weeks, but I'm going to be away next week. So if you just send me whatever you want me to read, I'll read it from Juanita's house when I do it from there next week.
Sounds like a winner.
Looking forward to it. Thanks again.
Okay.
Ezekiel J. Kralin. Bye-bye.
Bye.